Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you have the Cornerstone app, you can join me there. The sermon notes show up under More, and then the next screen comes to Sermon Notes, and you'll be able to follow along. There's a couple scriptures that we're going to get to pretty much at the end of the talk. The next, kind of the introduction and the majority of my talk, I want to talk to you about song. If any of us were planning on moving to maybe an obscure part of the globe, to a remote community or village, you'd want to be prepared to go into that land, go into that area. You'd want to know about the economics. You'd want to know about the climate, how society works, all kinds of things you'd want to know. But I wonder if we were to make that kind of a move, what impact it would have on us if we were to discover that the people of that area, of that region, worshipped a god. I don't know, named Fred, or who, whatever. That somehow there's a god that they worship. Well, that's actually what happened in the Old Testament with the people of God, as they went into Canaan and other lands. They would discover people. They would not only discover the economics and the things in society, the social structure. They would discover that people of the land that they were going into worshipped false gods, whether it be Baal or Moloch, whether it be Chemosh. It wasn't just in the Old Testament, in the Canaanites or the land of Canaan. In the New Testament, we can fast forward, and we see in the book of Acts where people worshipped the goddess Diana. There were Roman gods, there were Greek gods. And somehow when we articulate and say these people worship this god, I doubt very much that what would come to mind would be their songs. Primarily, when we talk about worshiping, I think, at least I would think this, we'd wonder about, we'd see their devotion and their commitment and their sacrifice. We would see offerings of appeasement, those kinds of things. And I doubt very much that the primary thing we'd be looking at, these are a people who worship this god, that when we talk about they worship this god, that we're talking about a song service. And yet, that's exactly what I want to talk with you about in our next few moments that we have together, is about worshiping in song. Because we, as people of the kingdom of God, when we talk about, identify that we worship God, it doesn't just mean that we sing to him. It has to do with consecration and devotion and following him and serving him. That's our worship. But so often when we talk about worship, like even this Sunday, well, who's leading worship this Sunday? Well, Ben and Omatar and the team are. We think about worship and song, and it's exactly thinking about worship and song that I want to talk with us about, that I'd like you to think about. One of the things for me is I value so highly worshiping God in music and song. It is a huge value in my life. I think it's a tremendous gift that he's given us, that we can join in worship, in song. I think songs are so powerful because in song we can express and we get to express our feelings and our emotions, our thoughts, our belief, our doctrine, our questions and our struggles. We get to express our love. There is so much in song that we can express. But one of the things that I just want to remind us of as we talk about encountering God in worship and encountering God in song and next week encountering God in prayer, remind us that we have to do more than connect with the song. We have to connect with the one we're singing to. There is beauty and power in music and song, but it's not enough to sing. We must encounter God through song. I don't think we have to look very hard to discover and to acknowledge that man, music is powerful, and that songs are powerful, and songs and music have shaped people and nations and generations, whether we talk about Elvis or whether we talk about the Beatles or so many other musical groups have have shaped how we think and how we feel. And songs can be so emotive and so powerful. I know that there's a lot of goofy songs. If I Had $1 Million, or the YMCA, or the Chicken Dance, na 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 na. But even those songs evoke something. Laughter or joy, lightheartedness, or maybe a little mocking as you see people try to dance to them. Audrey and I mentioned we were in Phoenix, and spring training happens in Phoenix, and it happens in Florida. And we went to a Dodgers game, hallelujah. And there were two songs that were sung at the Dodgers game, other than all the background music that goes on. The first that I'll share with you was in the seventh inning stretch, which, incidentally, about the seventh inning is when Audrey's ready to go. that's enough baseball. But she hung in there till the ninth inning. And this, take me out to the ballpark, and most everybody stands, and we sing, and we'll root for the... I mean, it says home team, but really you need to say Dodgers. And we'll root for the Dodgers, and if they don't win, it's a shame. And there's just this lighthearted smiling, and people very boisterous singing, take me out to the ballgame. But there's another song that was sung there. And when that song was announced that it was going to be sung, everything stopped. I was in line for a hot dog. The manager of the concession said, "Stop, everyone stop, national anthem." Everybody, the people at the tills stepped back from them. All sales stopped. I looked out in the busy concourse. Everyone stopped and stood facing the field where the flag was. Players, umpires, managers just came to a silent stop as then the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner, was sung. As it was sung, I would see so many people with their hands over their hearts. But what caught my attention was a gentleman not too far away from me. He had a patch on his hat and on his jacket, or his light jacket, that said U.S. Army. Stood at attention for the entire anthem. Why I share that is, songs are powerful, and they connect us. And the emotion in that moment was palpable. It was tangible, connected to the song and all that it means. I don't know about you, but for me, not singing our national anthem at I can sing it at a hockey game, I can sing it at a Stampeders game, but on Remembrance Day, I have huge difficulty singing the national anthem because of my heart in my throat and because my eyes tend to leak. As that song evokes so much meaning and significance. Songs have united thousands in times of celebration and in times of grief. In times of rejoicing and in times of funeral and sorrows, there have been songs that have been sung that people have rallied around, whether it be Sir Elton singing Candle in the Wind, Goodbye Norma Jean, or then later adapted to Goodbye England's Rose, singing for Lady Di. I haven't talked about worshiping God in song yet. Just simply talking about the power and the significance, the emotions that can happen, that can connect us to memories, that can connect us to moments, that can transport us to times and places and experiences. Anytime I hear the song, You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone, I am transported to February 14th, 1988, when I tipped the piano player to play that song and got down on one knee at the Owl's Nest restaurant and asked Audrey to marry me. And in a moment of weakness, she said yes. And I never let her go back on it. I remember the first time I really noticed Whitney Houston singing Dolly Parton's song, I Will Always Love You. and the emotion that I experience when I hear that. Because the first time that I really noticed that song, I was working at a funeral home. There was a funeral in Calgary. I was the one pushing the casket down the aisle as it would leave the church. I put it into the hearse, and I was the driver that day. I drove the casket away. But as I was walking the casket down the aisle, that song came on. The first words of that song, being sung at a funeral of a 17-year-old, young man who took his own life. In a church packed full of 400 people, weeping as I wheeled the casket out. The beginning words of that song are, "If I should stay, I would only be in your way. And I will always love you." Hollywood knows the power and the music of song. Doesn't even have to have lyrics, but it transports us to times and places. Even in the Academy Awards, the Oscars, there's a category for best original score. It's the music behind Star Wars or Indiana Jones, or even just the sound effects of Top Gun. You hear something and it evokes a feeling in you. The Imperial March, dun, 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 and Darth Vader comes in, or dun, 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 Indiana Jones, you know, the hero is there in the moment. And for a while I had that on as my ringtone, dun, 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 dun. So every time anybody would call me, I'd just get all dun, dun, dun. Or the sound effects, dun, 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 dun. And the shark, you know, the shark's on its way, you're in trouble. But the power that invokes, and the emotions that show up, and the unity that happens when people connect to that song, they connect to a moment, they connect to a memory. I remember standing on the downtown on 8th Avenue Mall trying to get into the theater for Star Wars the first time. And you know, it connects you to moments and memories. There's such great power and sweetness in a mom's lullaby, as Audrey would sing our kids to sleep, as she would rub their backs and sing, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." There's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. My kids remember that. They remember me singing drip, drop, drip, drop. Up on the housetop, pitter, patter, pitter, patter on the window pane, tap, 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 fall asleep on my lap as we rock to the rhythm of the falling rain. See, she was far more spiritual than me. But you remember the song, whether it's deep and meaningful, Jesus, Jesus, or it's tap, 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 fall asleep on my lap, hurry up. Here we are, Scripture. Scripture is full of wonderful instructions and examples of singing and worshiping God through song. He put a new song in my mouth. If you follow along in the sermon notes, I've listed all of the scriptures there for you. He put a new song in my mouth. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Sing unto the Lord. We see victories being won as the singers would go ahead and the army would be confused and be defeated. We see tormenting spirits leaving as David would sing and play. We see prison doors, foundations of jails being shaken, prison doors being opened, prisoners being loosed, as Paul and Silas would sing in the midnight hour. We see Jesus and the disciples singing a hymn before they go to the Mount of Olives, before they probably go to Gethsemane. So many of the Psalms are prayers to be accompanied by the stringed instruments. And we know the power of song and what helps us so much with memory, that passed on the stories and the accounts from one generation to another. Things like the Song of Moses. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea." We remember the story of Israel being set free, because there's a song in Scripture that Moses and the people sang. It's recorded, and you can remember, and here we are in 2023. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. My Lord, my God, my strength, my song has now become my victory. I never memorized that passage, but because I've sung the song, God's word is in my heart. We can recall that. We teach in Sunday school the songs, the stories. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. But as we come before the Lord in worship and song, we've got, listen, here's the points. This isn't a three-point sermon, it's a get-to-the-point sermon. Here it is. We've got to connect with the one that we are worshiping, not just connect with the song. Songs are a tremendous vehicle and a powerful gift. But when we conclude our time of worship on a Sunday, my hope and prayer is not that you walk out the door and say, I love that song. But instead we say, I love the Lord. Because we have done more than connect with a song that we like. We have, and the songs can bring such emotions. We've talked about that, and such feelings and such passion. And they express our words and our heart, all of those things. And we can use them, but we just can't stop there with the song. We've got to encounter the one we're singing to. It's got to be more than the emotions and the passion and the zeal. It's got to be more than that. We've got to actually meet with him. There are times in church where we have celebration. We sing songs that are just celebrative. Hallelujah, eh? And we can celebrate. Let my Jesus change your life. I've got the joy. And we celebrate and we sing those songs. And there are other songs that are really just exalting songs. How great is our God? We're going to sing that in a moment. How great is our God? And we exalt him. But exaltation is not the same as encounter. That's us praising and worshiping, but we need to come to that place where we meet with God, where we hear his voice, where we feel his touch. I love that worship in song. I love that the songs can transport us to a place of worship, but it needs to be more than a transportation. It must be transformation. It must be transformation. Jesus would speak to a woman who had quite a past about worship. And in John chapter 4, beginning at verse 20, this conversation that we pick up mid-talk, she asks him a question. She says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know, for we know what we worship, for salvation is the Jews. He's talking about Samaritans and Jews. But Jesus says this, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking worshipers, true worshipers. It means God is on the lookout for true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus used this word to this woman. It's exactly the same word that shows up when Mary and Joseph had come to sacrifice in Jerusalem, and they leave the celebration. They leave Jerusalem, and they think Jesus is with them and discover he's not. And 3 days later, they find him in the temple, and Jesus will say these words, why did you seek me? Did you not know I need to be about my father's business? But the seeking, it's that same intensity. It's the same word when it says God is seeking. God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And for us to worship him in spirit and in truth, we need to be authentic and we need to be accurate. And that's why the words that we sing in our songs are so important. Worship him in spirit and in truth. It means worshiping authentically and worship accurately. So when we gather together as a people of God to worship him through song, there's place for celebration. There's place for exaltation and exhortation. There's place for confession and repentance. And those are all connected to how God has wired us with the emotions. And those are good and right. And heart and dedication and commitment and consecration and allegiance. All the things that we say and do. But we must connect with him and not just connect with the song. Because when transformation, when we encounter him, that's where the transformation takes place. The last couple of scriptures in your notes say this. It's from 2 Corinthians 3:18. And if I can leave you with anything, it's this. When you think about worshiping God through song, may we come to this place, and may we as a people come to this place. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, as we behold him, we're changed. Watch. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just by the Spirit of the Lord. As we behold him, we are changed. As we behold him, we are changed. And that beholding and that encounter isn't just somehow that we are aware that he's present. So many people were in the presence of Jesus and left underwhelmed and ended up crucifying him. Some people will tell you, if you're with God, you just can't help but be transformed. I would contend with that, because we see so many people, and Jesus let him walk away sorrowful. The transforming encounter is not only up to God, it's also up to us to open our hearts and lives in worship. My heart and my hope for us is this: don't stop at singing a song. As powerful and as emotional, as good and right, as beautiful as that can be, but press in to meet the Lord and encounter him, to hear his voice, to know his touch, to be aware of his not only to be aware of his presence, but to meet with him. So next week, I want to talk with us about how do we do that? How do we do that through prayer, through not only talking, but listening, but pressing in and waiting, but making space for God in our times of worship and song and in prayer, that we might encounter him. Can I invite you to pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for the gift of song and music and lyrics that we can express with feeling our thoughts and our hearts, and we can enter your presence with the sacrifice of praise. God, we want to do our part in participating and in coming before you, but we need you to draw us by your Spirit that we might truly meet with you. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, authentically and accurately. And I pray for each one of us that as we worship you, that there would be a transformation, there would be a transforming encounter, because we have been with you. So, Lord, when we bring the offering of praise, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks, God, as we bring our songs to you and our music to you that you've given to us as a gift, as a vehicle to come near, God, we're so grateful for that. But, God, I pray that it wouldn't end with that, but that in our song we would meet with you, and that because we have met with you, we would be changed. Just like you said to Martha about Mary, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. We come and we sit at your feet, that we meet with you. God, may there be transformation as we encounter you in worship. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.